Are You Playing?
Hello, and welcome to What the Bleep Are You Playing? A podcast where we play a game, many times bad, and tell you why the bleep we play it. I'm Sean's in disguise. This is Transforming Thomas and More Than Meets the Mason. And we played... Transformers for the PS2. Not to be confused with the other Transformers for the PS2. This one is not based on a movie.
This one is not based on the Michael Bay movie. This is the one that Atari published in 2004 based off Transformers Armada. Yes, this game is a pain in the ass to look up.
And you know we say Atari published. This isn't really Atari. The Atari that we have now is not the same as the Atari that...
Well, yeah, but it still was the company Atari in the 2000s.
Yeah.
And it was different, and it's not, you know, the Atari that had E.T. on it, but it is still a company that just was pumping games out.
It was another company that got rebranded to Atari.
Anyway, weird Atari tangent aside, this game, as Thomas says, is kind of a pain to look up. As it was a few years before Michael Bay's Transformers launched.
It would have been 3 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's based on, I'm not going to say Armada was unpopular, because it wasn't.
It was part one of an anime trilogy.
Yeah. So. It was fairly popular, but it's not the one that a lot of people think of when they think of Transformers.
Which makes it even stranger that they just branded this one Transformers.
I think at the time, again, without any movie or anything knowing is on the horizon, it makes sense that they would just call it Transformers, because is everyone running out for a Transformers Armada game, but a Transformers game?
Yeah, that's fair, I guess.
I think that's probably why more, is because Transformers is a known name. Armada is a semi-known name, because, you know, it was on Toonami, it was on those sort of runs that it played... You know, anime fans would watch it at different times. You know,
we're desperate.
Yeah, we need things. And also, it was a kind of big relaunch of Transformers at the time, especially in the toys and everything. The Transformers Armada was a kind of return to Transformers in a little bit, that we hadn't had any major Transformers for a while. And
the last one was Beast Wars, mm-hmm. which... was continuing on the story from OG, I believe. I like Transformers. I'm not the biggest knowledge holder.
So. Mm-hmm. And so this was a pretty cool show that had come out. And so it makes sense that they would make a tie-in game. And this game is really interesting. It's one of those where I see what they're thinking on every decision. I don't agree with every decision in the game and things like that. But I see the logic in everything here.
There's nothing that makes you go, why did they do that? It's like, oh, that's why they did that. Do I like it? Yeah, but that's why they did it.
That's why they did it. And yeah, it's I think specifically with the controls, when you say like the decisions that they made, they're weird. Like any game that doesn't have X as the jump button is automatically
honestly
going
feels
to be
weird. But I do really like L1 as jump. Like I do really like it. It takes a little bit to get used to.
It does take a little bit to get used to, and it also helps because like when it's a button that isn't X, it's not just like a reflex. It's like mm-hmm. you have to think actively about hitting that button, and it helps with the sort of heavy giant robot physics that they put on these mm-hmm. characters.
I think since we're just starting with the controls, we don't normally start with the controls, but hey, why not today? But
if not now, when?
Yeah, exactly. I think all the controls, it's mapped to not necessarily to buttons that you would think. I mean, R1 and R2 being your shooting and your big guns makes mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah.
But a lot of your triangle, circle, square, X are more mapped for your car when you transform. I know they have purposes in it, but they feel, especially early game, it's like you're using most of that when you're in car mode. It is very interesting that the top of the PS2 controller is where a lot of the action is in this game.
Yeah. It's like, this is a weird comparison. Hey, I haven't made a weird comparison in a while. Or maybe I have, and I'm just not remembering. But it's a lot like...
You with a bad memory!
No way!
Shut up. But it's kind of like... So some of the later Guitar Hero games have a mode where you can play with just a regular controller, but all of the the color pads, like on a guitar, they're mapped to the triggers and the bumpers. And it's like... But it, like when you're playing normally, you would think, oh, it's all the face buttons would be the, but no, it's the back buttons.
And I love platforming Guitar Hero.
Don't give them fucking ideas.
Ideas for what? They're not making another Guitar Hero game. That franchise is dead.
What is dead cannot eternal lie.
Fair enough.
So, weird. Comparison aside, I do see what you're saying on that. I think these controls really do feel natural when you play for a while, but it is a bit of a learning curve on it, which is fine. There's nothing wrong in a game with having a learning curve of your controls, and the first level isn't hard. No. Mason and I made it hard, but it's not hard.
It's
a third-person shooter mixed with a collectathon platform.
Mm-hmm. And I think the shooter elements, at least there, feel like they're a little better integrated than some of the platforming elements. Not that the platforming elements are bad, per se. They just feel more like basic platforming elements, whereas the shooter elements do feel, to me, like something kind of unique and fun with it.
And the thing about the platforming is that, like, the Transformers characters in this, they all have, like, a level of momentum when they move. So, like, when you're moving on a platform and you stop holding up on the stick, you expect him to just stop, and he keeps going a little.
It's almost like they're big.
Yeah, heavy. They really do play
and move.
They really do play into the hugeness of these characters, even though you don't.
For a game that has ragdoll physics, I was surprised at how good the physics is in this game. Like,
it is really
the realism that exists in it.
Yeah, that the realism of all the Transformers movements and how big they are is there, even though it's not like visually apparent. Like,
and
there's nothing like the Transformers in this are like the size of trees. They're not that huge. They don't seem like that huge in this. But
trees
like
trees in the Amazon.
They're gone.
I mean, yeah, there aren't any left. I have nothing to compare them with.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
Anyway. But, yeah, they don't feel... I mean, that they don't feel like Bayformers big.
Yes.
Massive.
And I think partly because we aren't given a whole lot of scale at times that we normally would look at. Because
there's no humans.
It's interesting that they did the platforming and put it on Earth. Because that scale to it. Yes, in the first level, you're climbing up a pyramid and things like that. A humongous pyramid, because Optimus Prime is walking. There's enough range for him to just walk around it on the top of it.
Yeah, that, I didn't think about that.
So there's some scale you see there, but not in the way that you see how big Optimus is.
Yeah.
I just think that a lot of the decision making on there, again, it's not a bad idea to put it on Earth. It's just because there are no real cities. It's not really around humans. They're not doing a lot of that. You could have put it on any random planet with random stuff. This is not a negative to it. It's just, it's again, interesting decisions that they made. While I don't think they're bad decisions, they're just going to go, huh, that's interesting.
That is true. It doesn't, I do think this game looks visually great, but there's nothing that like stands out that like, oh, this is Earth.
Yeah. I mean, we were going through the Pacific Islands at the end and looking through it all of it, and they had the little face statue things, like
Easter Island huts.
Yes, thank you.
Those things, yeah.
The face statue things. Face, you know exactly yeah, you what know, I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, the face statue.
Ah, good old face statues.
Oh, I love Night at the Museum. Anyways.
But this game does look good. Like, 2004 PlayStation, it looks good.
It does. It almost looks like a 360
game. In 2004, yeah, playing this would have been blown away by this graphically.
Yeah, it looks almost early 360.
Absolutely would have been blown away in 2004. But,
just realized it's very funny that you said it's weird that they incorporate the platforming elements on Earth. It is. It's also weird that when they move the games back to Cybertron, they get rid of the platforming.
That is legitimately kind of funny. Yeah. But Mason and I have talked a lot here, and this wasn't even our game, and we haven't beaten this game. So, Thomas, why'd you pick this game?
Yeah. I want to talk about Transformers. I mean, there's also the fact that this is a game that not a lot of people talk about. I have some other Transformers games planned, and those are ones that a lot of people talk about, but this, as well as Armada in general, mm-hmm. not a lot of people talk about when it comes to Transformers, because they're kind of an outlier, you know. They don't have Peter Cullen as Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have, you know, the typical stuff that you think of. It doesn't have Bumblebee.
Doesn't even have Bumblebee, which I was I personally was shocked about because I didn't know about, like,
remember,
they
this
were
is
trying
the,
to phase out Bumblebee.
This is the early 2000s, and Bumblebee was considered the negative of the original show.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was, not a lawsuit. People just hated Bumblebee.
People just didn't like Bumblebee.
It wasn't until, say what you will about him, Bay made Bumblebee cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
He did.
Oh,
yeah. And by the one thing that people hated about Bumblebee.
They got rid of
his voice. Because Bumblebee was the annoying child. Like, that's why people didn't like it. And so Bay was like, fixing that.
That always seemed like a bit of an overcorrection.
Yeah.
They couldn't have just given him a better voice.
No.
No.
Well, no, they did. And then they took it away. Yes, I'm bitter about that.
The interesting thing about this game, as we talked about, that it ties into Armada, but a lot of the story and gameplay do reference the Transformers movie, the 80s movie, yeah, and the original run. Which, again, not uncommon for Transformers stuff to reference previous things in the past. No. But there are a lot of quotes because, again, the villain of this game is
Unicron.
Yeah.
Big planet eater.
It doesn't get revealed until near the end, if I remember, because basically what happens is you beat Megatron, and then it's like, all right, cool. Now what do we do? Well, Unicron's coming. How many Minicons do we have? Not enough. Shit.
Which is the mechanic of this game, as Thomas said. This was a platforming collectathon to go with a third-person shooter because you are collecting Minicons, these little Transformers that give you your power.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, fun fact, are the size of, like, a human teen, I guess, because in Armada they're the same size as the kids.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's kind of – it was replacing – Armada, it kind of replaced the human characters of the original run in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and they're like these new anime-as-fuck characters.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I haven't watched a lot of Armada. The one I watched a lot was Energon, which mm-hmm. is like the second part of the trilogy, I believe.
So we're all over the place on this episode, but here's an interesting fact to come here that fits to what Mason said at the beginning. This game was originally titled Transformers Armada Prelude to Energon.
Ah, there you go.
Well, that's an awful name. It's too wordy.
That was its original title.
You can't be pleased, folks.
No, there's no such thing as pleasing Mason. So
why didn't they call it Transformers Armada? They call it, well, that's stupid.
Let's call it Transformers Armada.
And in an alternate universe where it's called Transformers Armada, Mason would be like, well, why not just call it Transformers?
And he's sitting there and he's like, why is it Energon comes next? Why aren't we talking about how this is the prelude to Energon?
Shut up.
The demo
the demo
debuted at Transformers Con in March of 2004.
I want to go to there.
That must have been, man, 2004. That must have been someone's peak in life.
And in 2005, Atari actually released a director's cut of this game, but it only was sold in the EU.
Okay.
So, if you got European version,
it's got the good version. I say that like I don't like that. I like this game.
Well, like I have no idea what the director's cut even entails, but yeah, going sort of back on topic, The collectathon element is the minicons.
Yes.
It works like a collectathon platformer. You need to collect a certain amount in order to get to the final stage. I assume if you collect all of them, you get a 100% ending. I haven't collected all of them because this game started beating my fucking ass about halfway through.
It gets hard. That end of the level, and I didn't play really the end stuff, but watching the struggle, I'm like, oh yeah, this game goes from like, yeah, you know, your health, why is everyone attacking me?
When you get to Alaska, mm-hmm. is the big shift.
And I think because a lot of this is trying to maximize your playstyle through which mini-cons you're going to equip. And there's an element of trial and error to it, as well as an element, because of the way the save points are, of kind of that Souls-esque, I'm going to go and try through an area this way. Oh, that didn't work. I'm going to re-equip, do something a little differently, figure it out type of thing.
Yeah, I was going to make the joke that this is like the Dark Souls of Transformers, and it has a lot of those Soulsian elements.
Not entirely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the gameplay necessarily of, but it has a lot of like the elements that lead into it, like the way the save points are, and it is meant to be kind of like, try that. Nope. Okay, try that. Nope. But gameplay-wise, no, it is not.
No, but look, nothing's going to be as stupid as when they called Crash Bandicoot Dark Souls, all right?
That is still the funniest thing.
Nothing's going to be that stupid.
So,
this is a very tangenty episode.
Us?
Us tangent?
No.
It never happens.
But yeah, what is kind of cool is that each minicon you collect does do something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you add one, oh, this one's a sniper rifle, swap it out, this one's a rocket launcher, swap it out, this one's a shield. It's kind of cool that they do that. It's not necessary for other collectathons, obviously. I don't need to collect the 15th Power Star on Mario 64. It's like, here's the gun. But, like...
It is that each one you collect can help you move forward in the game if you need to. You mentioned the sniper rifle, and that is actually a really cool element of it that you can at any point hit circle and go into kind of your sniping first-person mode if you need to. Mm-hmm. That's just a cool added on. Like, it's not uncommon that third person shooters will have a close up sniper type rifle that you'll look through, but it was very easy to go, all right, in that mode, loading up, in that mode, zoom in, out. It was very easy to do.
It's weird that like circle gets you into it, and then was it L3? Zooms
nope.
it in.
R3 zooms in, which isn't uncommon at all. R3 is a very common zoom in.
Yeah,
that was a little bit tricky for me.
Yeah, well, you're, I never experienced you're that. You're an Xbox heathen, so.
Well, also you don't play that many shooters, especially not this era shooters.
Mm-hmm.
What are you calling a heathen?
Yeah, I'm a Sony whore.
The Sony whore, the Xbox heathen. Okay, that makes sense. What does that make Thomas?
The Sega demon.
I'll let you excuse me. I'll be like Sega and fade into the ether.
My time has come. Farewell.
It's the meme of Homer going into the bushes.
Poochie.
This, I think the big thing for this game, and us sitting around playing it and kind of goofing with it, it is pretty fun. I can imagine Thomas trying to beat it. It could get real frustrating.
Again, Alaska was where it started kicking my ass, because in Alaska they start introducing these vertical platforming challenges. And I like me some platforming, but the shooting is the part of the game they focus on the most. And to all of a sudden swap to a majority platforming is like, huh. It kind of reminds me of those old boomer shooters back in the 90s, when they weren't called boomer shooters, but you know what I mean?
They were called Doom clones.
Where it would be like, oh, what a good shooter. You're having so much fun blasting these people apart. Have a bad first-person platforming challenge. Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
And you wanted to spice it up, you know?
And I think that, again, this game was well-received. It was 78% on Metacritic, averaged sevens and high sixes, mid sevens and eights across the board.
I think that's fair.
It's a good game. Like you can tell it is well, even with some of the difficulty that comes with it, with some of the learning that comes with there. This is a well put together game that just happens to also be a Transformers game.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, you can transform at any time, and I think that's good. Because in other Transformers games at this point, the transforming was something you can only do at a certain junction.
Yeah, it was a lot of times added like a special, like, oh, you're in this part of the level. This is a transform part.
This is a vehicle load part. Not before this, but after this, the PS2 version of Revenge of the Fallen would do that.
One of the cool things in that is that, yeah, it has a lot of platforming elements that allows you to be a car.
Yeah.
Which means there are ramps. There are things you have to get off, which are platforming, but you need to be car to do it.
They do get a little frustrating, though, when you mess up the car bits and have to drive 5 million miles around to get back to where you were.
Yes, I agree. That was
something we both did.
Yep, because we are both bad at this game.
You know, it starts with G, ends with UD. Jit Judd.
Jit Judd.
Jit Judd. The,
that's what it's spelled like. It's spelled G-I-T-G-U-D.
The, you know, my usual complaints of games like this that don't have, I didn't actually mind the lack of lock-on. I felt like everything felt good with it. I think lock-on, my problem with lock-on is more when it's in a more of an action-oriented game.
I was being a dick when I said that.
So. But I will say, a mini-map would have been really nice.
It absolutely, I agree.
Just because, not to say, like, I couldn't find my way or get around, but there was a lot of, it was easy to get, like, all right, where am I going? And I know in a collectathon, as Thomas pointed out, you just follow the lights, find the lights and things like that. But just, there's also an element of, like, oh, did I go that direction? Did I go this one? Just having a mini-map to just kind of pinpoint where I was. Or even if I don't have a mini-map, a map in my start menu that I could just kind of look at and orient myself would have been nice.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe an option to have like a glowing path to the next thing you have to get to that like can guide.
That's
you there.
Fair. I feel like I don't need my hand. Like I don't need to be drugged to places. Like well, I like the exploration element of this. It is very open to explore.
It could be like trying to remember what game. For some reason, I'm thinking X-Men Origins Wolverine, where you press a button, the line shows up for a little bit, then goes away.
Oh, yeah. That's like a Dead Space does that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes.
Or not if you don't even not don't even want that. Like the MX vs. ATV games have the arrow. Mm-hmm. That point where
the if you had like a compass pointing you type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some something mechanics like or things like that. Yeah. In the end, I just wanted something that would help me orient myself a little better, especially when you get in the middle of the forest or you get in the ditch and you fall down. And you have to go all the way back around just to make sure. I'm going the right direction and being like, that tree looks like where I'm supposed to go, but I see a lot of trees. Just something a little more oriented. It's not a deal breaker for the game. It legitimately doesn't change the game that much. It just would have made the gameplay a little easier for me.
The levels are designed pretty linearly, all things considered. It's wide and open, but overall there is a linear path.
Yes.
I'm nicer towards it because I like collectathons. Mm-hmm. I don't mind that.
I actually think the collectathon element is really cool in it.
There are some collectathons where I need a map because they get too wide and open and it's like, where am I? But, God, is that you? Can you give me direction? No. But how did I end up here anyway? Glitched out. But...
I think actually a happy medium is made. It said a compass, like just something that says like that just occasionally you could click and have a point a direction that you're going. Yeah. Like go left, go this way, go.
I mean, the objectives kind of do that, but they show you where you're supposed to go, not how to get.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't hurt the game that much. Like, again, this is a good game. Like,
yes,
this is a good game. With some small flaws that can make gameplay a little more frustrating. But I think the big thing for this game and what they're trying to do is like create your ultimate prime or any of the others, how you want to do it, how you want to fight, how you want to go through these missions. Build them, put weapons on them, and fight.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about the transforming on the go. But I wanted to say how intuitive it was with the controls to easily be able to just hit triangle and transform, and how funny Prime is when he just is, you know, flat planking in the air,
right before he hits the.
But because of that, you can do so many cool ass things in this game.
Yes. One of the best things to do is to be going like 90 miles per hour, transform, skid to a halt, and just clothesline some Decepticon.
Mm-hmm. Go off a ramp, just barely land on the edge, perfectly turn around and shoot a guy and then punch a guy. Like, there's this game, they were like, ooh, that's gonna look cool. Ooh, that's going to look so cool. Parkour!
They really nail the sort of Transformers action that in some areas I think the Bayformer movies did well, and then in others they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looks better in some parts of those movies than it does others.
More often
it doesn't. But anyways.
I just think this is a really good Transformers game. And not to say there have been some really good Transformers games that have come out, and especially lately, or in the last 15 years.
Because what was the...
Devastation was the last
one. Was Devastation the last one? Yeah. There was one before that, I think, that, like, everybody loved.
War for Cybertron. Fall of Cybertron.
Those games are really good. Yeah. And I think for this game that is really cool... is it doesn't feel trapped in just a third-person shooter. You have your vehicle mode, which is all the time, and that feels really cool that you have that, which takes away from that. You have the platforming mechanics, and while I am bad at platforming, it is nice that it doesn't feel as just pigeonholed in a third-person shooter. It is a third-person shooter, but it has a lot of other elements to it that kind of makes it feel fresher than some of the good Transformers games that are just third-person shooters. It just feels really good. This game feels good.
Yes.
Even if at first you're like, ooh, the controls.
Them controls, man. They take a sec to get used to. But once you get used to them.
Another thing great, this is a really good camera. Like, going through, like, this is a really good camera that is very easy to move. It feels like you are in control of it. I rarely had to, like, spin. Yeah, I missed enemies, but that's because I'm dumb. It wasn't because the camera didn't show them to me.
For anyone else playing this game, the camera would be like, oh, just something that they didn't notice. But with the amount of games that we have played with bad to god-awful cameras... This is a highlight.
And in the PlayStation 2 era, when there were a lot of, like...
There were a lot of, oh no.
This is a... Again, the development in this game, from a studio that really didn't develop that many games in terms of, like, in this era, to kind of put together this really good game, their second-to-last game, this is just a really impressive game that they put together. I'm heaping its praise on it because I was legitimately impressed by it. Mm-hmm. One other fun thing about its sales on it was that one of the ways to push sales is they included a playable demo of Driver 3.
Really?
At certain times for this game.
That's right. Atari did publish Driver 3.
Yep.
That's what killed them for a bit.
Yikes. They Driver 3 was one of the playable demos for this that came with this game, which, again, I love games that had sale boosts because they included demos of other games.
Well, was Driver 3 like a bad game, or was it just stupid expensive? What happened?
Yes.
Stupid expensive. It's fine, but it's a GTA clone.
Driver 3 is a mediocre GTA clone. That cost about as much as GTA 6.
Jesus.
Yes.
Not that much, but that's a rough... Like,
yeah, it cost them a ton.
Eventually, we're going to do the Driver games.
Some mm-hmm. Specifically, Driver 2, I think, is what we were thinking about doing.
I think we've talked about doing all of them.
That's fair.
I'd like to do San Francisco, personally.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's like the big one, isn't it, that mm-hmm. everyone thinks of?
The first one, but whatever.
Yeah, it's like 1 and 2, and then... infamously Driver 3, which I played Driver 3. It's fun. It's fine. It is what it is. It is a, as Thomas says, a mediocre GTA clone, which is fine.
Yeah.
But this game, it's interesting that they felt they had to package a game like that, a demo, to try to boost some sales for a Transformers game. And I could see that maybe this game, you know, while it sold fine, I could see that sort of thing.
I mean, it has shooting and it has driving. It's a match made in heaven, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it had solid success. To go back to one of our previous episodes, this one was named Best PlayStation 2 Game of May 2004.
What the fuck is with these?
So specific?
What is with these goddamn awards?
They gotta make awards for everything, man.
This one was from GameSpot, named it the best PlayStation 2 game of 2004. Not just the best game, just the best PlayStation 2 game.
So hold on. Risking another tangent. What were the other games that came out in May?
We tried to look that up during the Bond episode,
and it just gave us games from 2004.
So we were not. Look, if I were more prepared, I would have a list for you. But that's not the type of person that I am.
Be that person, anyways.
But I think we had fun with this game. It was fun to sit and look at the Transformers, even if Mason was nitpicking the designs or,
I'm not a fan of the Armada design.
Yeah, none of us have a huge knowledge of Armada.
I've seen like 3 episodes of Armada.
I'll join Mason. I'm not the biggest fan of the designs either. They're not terrible.
No, they're fine. I don't
think they're terrible, but like they're just meh.
They're not peak design of Transformers at all.
Yeah, they're not the design that I see in my head when I think that
they're not Rise of the Beasts.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I love the art style of Armada, but yeah, the designs are kind of eh.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was a fun game that I think wouldn't be surprised if we revisit at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But on this podcast, we ask 2 important questions of every game that we play. The first is, how does it hold up?
What was that thing that I said earlier about, or that we said earlier about it looking like an early 360 game?
Yeah.
That's your answer.
Yeah, I think that pretty much very well answers that question, yeah.
I think
it plays like an early 360 game.
Too. Mm-hmm.
It does,
in a way that, like, it feels almost advanced.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing for
it
is...
I don't want to shit on the PS2. I think it's the best console ever made, ironically, when it's like, for this era, it's like, oh... This was back when experimentation was good.
I think by mapping things to different buttons and making kind of the experience there, it holds up better because of it. It is memorable. It holds up.
It's similar to Split Second, where no game really plays like this.
Exactly. You know? And kind of the, so that memorability, that fact that like it kind of is this unique experience makes it, I think, actually hold up a little better. And also, it's a good game, and it was a good game in 2004, and it's a good game now. And absolutely. So, when we can say that means it has to have held up.
Cool.
The second question we ask of every game that we play: would you like to see a remake or a reimagining of this game in a modern setting?
I maybe more reimagining, but honestly, this feels kind of perfect for like ground up remake.
Yeah.
Insanity.
Insane
Trilogy. Like, mm-hmm. Do I think it should follow on directly from Armada? Maybe not, but at the same time, like...
Yeah, ground up remake, ditching the Armada art style, and doing something... Doing something different.
Maybe kind of the... Going more with like the Transformers 1 right now is coming out in the future style, maybe going with or like whatever like series comes after that.
Right. Or something more like, as Thomas said earlier, Rise of the Beasts.
Or just do original shit.
Yeah,
or,
you could. Yeah, you could go and make it original.
The only risk that you have with doing original original designs is coming up with the same problem that I had with the Armada designs. Is like, I don't like it. But, you know, it's possible that they could make an original design that would work with me. Then again, you could end up with the designs like in Earthspark,
mm-hmm.
which I'm not a fan of, the designs in that show.
They look, okay, whatever.
I don't think I would like just like a straight up forward remake. I don't need this story. I don't need Armada. I don't need that necessarily. But I would love if they took this gameplay, reimagined it, and did it in a new setting. So I took the gameplay and the mechanics and everything like that and then said, all right, we have a new story to tell with it, a kind of a spiritual sequel to it or a spiritual type remake to it is what I would like to see.
Like
you know, where it's like, yeah, this is it isn't following Armada. It's not following the game. It's not remaking the game, but it is a spiritual successor to it.
I would
absolutely get behind that because I would love to honestly see this with several different styles. I'd be cool if you could, you know, depending on, you know, maybe you travel to different planets and depending on which planet you're on, you're doing a different style. I would be kind of cool if they did some stuff like that.
That would be interesting.
Maybe design more the levels around or different styles and things like that.
Making it like a love letter to the entirety.
To the entire franchise, yeah. But I'd also be okay if they picked a style and they were like, we're going to do a Rise of Beast style game, you know, that's going to be with
across
this.
The Transformers verse. Let's go, lads.
Let's go. Or, you know, if they wanted to make it just off of the Bay Transformers, I'd be okay with playing, you know.
Genocide Prime. Let's go, lads.
Like, I would be okay with playing any Transformers style if it had kind of this kind of gameplay with it. In a more modern say, because that in a more modern, I think that they would spend a little more time on the platforming. They would, I think you could fully refine the platforming. You could add maybe even some new weapons, new designs, things like that. Maybe make it a little easier in parts, or have the baby mode be easier. But I really like this style of game, and I would like to see them do more with Transformers with it if they could.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
But yeah, that is Transformers, not to be confused with Transformers, or Transformers, or Transformers. This one for the PS2 in 2004.
All right! guys!
What do you guys think? Were you one that played it? Do you like Transformers Armada? What is your favorite Transformer? Let us know.
Are you upset that I didn't bring up Transformers Battleground that came out in 2020 as the most recent Transformers game? Yes, I'm aware.
Let us know. Send us an email, bleepyouplayed@gmail.com. That's bleepyouplayed@gmail.com. Maybe you want us to play a game, Transformers or otherwise. You can make us do that by subscribing to our Patreon, patreon.com/whatthebleep. And tell us to play a game, $15 a month. We'll do it. But yeah, we'll be back next time with some speed.
Some more goddamn cars.
I need for speed. Burn it.